Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, we bring you a little bit of an unusual message in preparation for our 125th anniversary, a year from today. We will be gathered. One of the things that we have done is asked former sons and former pastors of the congregation to perhaps grace us with their presence in the coming year, and many of them are on the calendar already. Pastor Disbro immediately sent out a message. Pastor Disbro is physically not able to be here, though, and told me that he would not be able to preach this text, but welcomed me to go ahead and to share it with you today. So I thought it was very appropriate, as he really literally did write a sermon, a message for you today as we consider God's grace and blessing here at Christ Lutheran as we enter this 125th year. In Christ, loving greetings to each of you. It's an honor to have been invited to provide this message, and I thank you. It's appropriate. In observing and celebrating 125 years as God's flock and beacon to Peoria's South Side, to be reminded of your real identity and worth in God's own estimation as his special people. You are the church, which literally means those who are called out. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, according to Ephesians. So you are saints yourselves, a saint, a holy person, one who has been set apart by God in a very special way. Martin Luther claimed that John's Gospel and the Bible books of Romans and 1 Peter are the most important witnesses to the Gospel of Christ. He had a very high regard for Peter's first epistle among all the others. And this text today comes from its second chapter. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In those words, Peter has described God's people on God's mission by God's grace. It's a picture of the church. It's a picture of those who are called out. It's God's own picture of who its members are, what they do, and why they do it. The description begins by saying, you are a chosen race. Peter didn't write that to the Jewish people who regarded themselves as God's specially chosen nation. He meant all Christian believers, including you, because you have been chosen by God through Jesus Christ. You are God's number one. You are his elect, and you are his elite. The infinite creator has chosen you, a finite creature. The all-holy God has chosen you, an ever-stumbling sinner. The God of beauty and order has chosen you, who have been scarred with the ugly guilt of rebellion. The earliest Christians seem to have been, well, they seem to have been mostly coming from the lowest of social classes. It must have been mind-stunning for them to contemplate the claim, you are a chosen race. But it's really just as amazing for us today. How could any of us ever qualify to be God's number one? In truth, we don't, of course, and we know it. We have hopelessly disqualified ourselves by our sin. And yet, God still has chosen us through the sufferings and the death and the resurrection of Christ our Savior. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. And here, he wasn't writing only to those ordained as pastors, but again, all true Christian believers. The title, Royal Priesthood, here is one of the very foundations of Luther during the Reformation to insist on emphasizing the doctrine of the universal priesthood of all believers. Now, a priest is one who has direct access to God through Christ, and one who offers sacrifices, and one who assists others in being brought to God. The Latin word for priest actually means bridge builder. And as Christians, we have humanity's great high priest, Jesus, who has come as our own bridge directly to God. But we now also offer ourselves as living sacrifices whose lives and words and deeds show others the way and actually make a bridge for them. Luther wrote, "We are all priests before God, if we are Christians." It would please me very much if this word priest was used as commonly as the term Christian is applied to us. Those baptized and priest and Christians are all one and the same. A certain Bible version actually says, rather than using the term royal priesthood, says that you and I are the king's priest. And that is who you are. That is whose you are. And Peter wasn't done. You are a holy nation. Here, the word holy doesn't necessarily designate so much the idea of being without sin as much as it means to be set apart or consecrated. You are unique and different from the world. Holy, because God's Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of believers and actually makes them different. Among all the groups of people in the world, Christian believers truly are a holy nation, given that unique role that God has intended for them to play in this world. And then comes Peter's glorious climax. You are God's own people. We don't own ourselves. God does. He actually purchased us with the very price of Christ's blood, and therefore regards us as more precious than we might even imagine. Believers belong to God and to no other. Not to themselves, not to Satan, not to the world, not to anything else. I have called you by name, God tells us. You are mine. God says that to every individual believer. He gives all those who are in the true faith an infinite security that we are his. All put together, it's one of the most striking descriptions of God's saints and his church in the entire Bible. That we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. You see, even the sky isn't the limit when it comes to the measure of God's regard to you and for you through Christ. Nowhere in the universe can you find anyone who thinks more highly of you, or loves you more, or thinks of you more dearly than God does. And it all starts right here. It all starts with who you are in God's eyes. And then all the rest of the pieces actually fall into place. You are God's own, Peter writes, that you then may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. St. Paul also wrote that he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Where the text speaks of declaring God's wonderful deeds, a modern Bible version actually says that we are to proclaim God's triumphs. With the high privilege of being who we are comes the sacred responsibility of doing what we do. We proclaim the triumphs of our God, and nobody else does it except the people of God. Christ's great commission is his giving to us the role of Santa Claus. If you think about it, we are like Santa Claus in dispensing his gospel. Luther wrote this: "Let it be your chief work in proclaiming the gospel and to call everyone into the light into which you have been called. Sharing God's word is Christianity's chief work. Jesus isn't just the leader of some private club. He wants the stranger. He wants those who are different. He wants everyone. When a congregation exhibits Christ's own way of tenderly inviting people, it trumpets the praises and triumphs of God. It truly is an honor. It is an honor that God has given his people the joyful service of sharing his gospel. He could do it far better himself. Or maybe he could get it done by sending some dazzling messenger angels. But he wants above all to use you. You are chosen. You are royal. You are holy. You are owned that you may all declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness. Why? Because once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. St. Paul emphasized it similarly when he wrote that we were once dead in our trespasses and sins. The spiritual biography of every Christian is from rag to riches, from pauper to prince, from nobody to somebody, by the mercy of God himself. Believers declare God's wonderful deeds because he took them when they were nothing, and he made them eternally valuable through Christ's work. The Bible says, "You are a burning stick snatched from the fire." Once you were nobody. Now you are somebody. Now you are God's people. The words "but now" make all the difference. But now you are God's people. But now you have received mercy. It can only be so because of Calvary's harsh wooden cross, where God personally invested in you the very blood of his only begotten Son, and all the anguish and all the pangs and all the pains of hell endured by Jesus at the crucifixion for our sake. And then God raised him up alive again as the certain sign of his appeasement and complete satisfaction with the atoning price for our sin. A radio Bible teacher once described his understanding of the difference between grace and mercy this way. He explained it, that it's like the opposite side of the same coin. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do. Both apply here, you see. We deserve to be nobodies as we once were. But you see, now we are God's prized possession of the Almighty One, the only God, by his grace and his mercy, which we certainly never could have deserved. God's love given to us through his own Son, Jesus Christ, formed those words, "but now." The change from nobodies to God's somebodies, from no mercy to having it, has come by both the grace and the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. Once you were not a people, once you were not of any account, but now God has a whole new picture of who you are. Scripture assures you and me of this: if anyone is in Christ, he or she is an entirely new creation. You who are true Christian believers are God's especially chosen ones. You are his royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own people. That really is God's perspective toward you. Told with authority and from personal experience of the once fearful disciple Peter, who took so long to come to grips with just that himself and the motivation to declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light is as powerful as it can be. Because once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have. Living by faith and walking in word and sacrament, true Christian believers are the church, God's called out ones. You are saints, God's precious, holy possession. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please take out the white card in front of you. If you would fill it out so we have a record of your being here with us today. And as you do, please turn it over and we pray together the call to Christian fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship you. We have confessed our sins and we thank you for your forgiveness. We've sung praises to you and listened to your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as you love us. By our words and actions, make us your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.